Welcome to Counting Sheep Podcast. Today, we present a unique tale created with the Counting Sheep app, where your stories come to life with just a few taps. Find Counting Sheep on the iPhone App Store and start your own storytelling journey. Unlock your creativity and let the storytelling begin.
The Viper's Coil. Chapter 1. The Revelation. Sarah Mitchell sifted through the manila folder her boss had handed her just minutes before. The label read, Anthony Kane. And inside were pages of legalese, financial statements, and police reports, all cornerstones of a case that had the air of both urgency and danger clinging to it. "You don't look pleased," came the gruff voice of Jack Gordon, her boss, from his cluttered office desk. He didn't bother looking up from his own pile of documents. Sarah frowned, still processing the information in front of her. Anthony Kane, accused of embezzling millions from Sterling Morrison Corporation. "It's a mess, Jack. And don't tell me this one isn't political." Jack's eyes finally lifted, meeting hers. "It's always political, Sarah. That's why I need my best on this. Sterling Morrison has friends in high places. They're making a lot of noise about wanting this sorted swiftly and quietly." Sarah closed the folder and stood. "I need to talk to him." Sarah walked into the interrogation room, the high security lights casting a harsh glare on Anthony Kane, who sat with his hands clasped tightly on the table. He looked up as she entered, his eyes betraying a mix of anxiety and defiance. "Mr. Kane," Sarah began, sitting down across from him. "I'm Sarah Mitchell. I've been assigned to your case." "Assigned," Kane repeated, a sarcastic edge to his voice. "So you're the chosen one to prove I'm guilty then?" Sarah leaned forward. "I'm here to prove you're innocent if that's the truth, but I need your help. Tell me everything you know." Kane took a deep breath, visibly calming himself. "I didn't take that money. I was set up. They needed someone to blame, and I was convenient." Sarah nodded, maintaining her professional demeanor. "Who is they?"
"Names, Mr. Kane."
"I need names." "The board, Heller Reed, even the CFO, Morrison himself. I found something in the accounts, discrepancies, funds being funneled into offshore accounts. When I tried to confront them, suddenly, I'm the one in the crosshairs." Sarah spent the next few hours poring over the company's financial records. She found significant transfers that had no legitimate explanations. Money moved through a labyrinth of accounts that only a skilled forensic accountant could trace. The deeper she went, the more discrepancies she found, all conveniently pointing toward Kane. She dialed Detective Graham Foster's number, her fingers drumming impatiently on the desk. "Foster," answered the gruff voice on the other end.
"Detective, it's Sarah Mitchell," she said briskly. "I need to talk to you about Anthony Kane's case. There are some inconsistencies that don't add up."
There was a pause, and Foster's tone turned cautious. "You think he's innocent?"
"I think there's more to this than it appears. Have you looked beyond the surface?"
"Meet me at the station," Foster said finally. "We can talk then." Walking into the precinct, Sarah spotted Foster waiting for her. His expression was serious, his eyes drilling into her as she approached.
"All right, Mitchell, walk me through it," Foster demanded as soon as they sat down in one of the smaller consultation rooms. Sarah laid out the financial discrepancies she'd discovered. "These movements of funds, they don't point to a lone perpetrator. If anything, they suggest a coordinated effort from within the company."
Foster leaned back, rubbing his chin thoughtfully. "You know, there were always rumors about Sterling Morrison. Whispers of corrupt practices, but nothing ever proven. You might be kicking a hornet's nest here." Sarah met his gaze unflinchingly. "I need access to any investigations you've done on the company. And I need it fast. If Kane is innocent, he's sitting in a holding cell while the real criminals cover their tracks."
Foster nodded.
"I'll see what I can dig up. But tread carefully, Mitchell. This kind of case can get real dangerous, real quick." Later that evening, Sarah sat in her office, her mind reeling from the day's discoveries. She kept returning to the same names, Heller, Reed, and Morrison. If they were part of this, proving Kane's innocence wouldn't just expose embezzlement. It would bring down titans of the corporate world. A knock on the door snapped her from her thoughts.
"Come in," she called.
Jack entered, looking more grim than usual.
"Sarah, I've just had a call from someone very high up. Don't dig too deeply. Leave this one alone."
Her heart pounded, but she forced herself to remain calm.
"Jack, you assigned me this case. I can't just back off now." Jack shook his head. There are forces at play here you don't understand. This isn't just about legal battles, it's about power. Be careful. After Jack left, Sarah sat in the darkening room, the weight of his words pressing down on her. She knew she was on the brink of something much larger and more dangerous than she'd anticipated. But her resolve hardened. She was going to get to the bottom of this, no matter the cost. She picked up the phone and called a trusted investigator to dig into the pasts of Heller, Reed, and Morrison. As she hung up, Sarah couldn't shake the feeling that her life had just become much more complicated. The game was on, and the stakes couldn't be higher. Chapter 2. The Deepening Abyss. Stepping through Sterling Morrison's chrome-trimmed lobby dripping with opulence, Sarah donned the persona of a lawyer on a mundane visit. Every head nodded in recognition. She had become a familiar face in the high-necked world of corporate law. As she approached the reception desk, she felt the eyes of men and women in suits glide over her. "Good morning, Miss Mitchell," the receptionist greeted, her polite smile not quite reaching her eyes. "Do you have an appointment?" "I'm here to review some documents. Corporate compliance," Sarah stated, striving for a casual tone as she ran a finger along the sleek surface of the desk. The receptionist's fingers danced over the keyboard. "Certainly. You'll find the compliance office on the 23rd floor. Enjoy your day, Miss Mitchell." Once inside the elevator, Sarah's mind raced. This visit had to seem routine, but the stakes were anything but. As the doors slid open onto the 23rd floor, she was met with a sea of cubicles buzzing with activity. She walked down the narrow aisle, her heels muffled by the industrial carpet, zeroing in on the records room like a guided missile. Inside, the corpulent archives manager barely looked up. He was too engrossed in a paperback thriller. Sarah produced her credentials with an air of urgency. "I need to review the quarterly compliance reports," she said briskly. The man sighed and heaved himself up, rummaging through a filing cabinet before producing the requisite folders. "Regulations, regulations," he muttered. Sarah seated herself at a rickety table, glanced over her shoulder to ensure privacy, and began to leaf through the documents. Her fingers trembled as she draped each sheet into neat piles. Many of the transactions seemed benign, but buried among them, she found what she sought, inconsistencies, most of them masked by a mess of bureaucratic jargon. She was deep in concentration when a shadow cast itself across her work. Sarah looked up to find Marcus Heller. Dressed immaculately in a charcoal suit, his smile was all teeth. "Sarah Mitchell," he drawled. "What brings you to our corner of the world?" Heller's presence felt like a snare tightening around her. "Compliance audit. Client demands," she replied. "Compliance, right?" he said with a chuckle that didn't touch his eyes. "Do you need assistance?" Sarah clenched her jaw. "I have everything I need." "Splendid," Heller said, leaving her to her work, but not before glancing at the very documents she was scrutinizing. His eyes bore into hers, and for a fleeting moment, she thought he might call her bluff. She continued until she had enough evidence to confirm her suspicions, but sensed it was time to leave before Heller decided to make her life more difficult. Sarah packed up her things and left as nonchalantly as she had arrived, fighting the urge to run. She took the scenic route back to her office, making stops at strategic intervals to ensure she wasn't being tailed. Sarah reached Anthony Kane's apartment building just as the sun dipped below the horizon, casting the city in a wash of gray. Kane let her in, looking haggard and paranoid. "What did you find?" he asked, almost before the door had swung fully open. Sarah laid the documents on his cluttered kitchen table. "Enough to make a case, but we need more. I need to know everything." Kane's eyes darted around the room. "There are files stored off-site, documents that prove more high-ranking officials are involved, their dealings with offshore accounts, but retrieving them is incredibly risky." Sarah's determination crystallized. "We have no choice. We need that evidence." The next day, Sarah met with Detective Foster in a discreet corner of a nondescript cafe. His eyes widened slightly when he saw the documents. "You're playing with fire, Sarah," he murmured, sipping his coffee. "I've managed to dig up some old files on Sterling Morrison's executives. It's not pretty, but you should know, powerful people are getting nervous." Sarah nodded. "We found hidden files. I need police backup." Foster regarded her gravely. "Give me 48 hours. It was already dark when Sarah and Kane met Elena Bauer in an abandoned warehouse. Bauer, a gaunt woman with wide, nervous eyes, clutched a briefcase like it was her lifeline. "I'm risking everything," she said, her voice shaking as she handed Sarah the briefcase. "But they can't get away with it." As they spoke, two corporate mercenaries burst in, guns drawn. Bauer screamed. Kane stumbled backward, crashing into wooden crates as the mercenaries moved closer. Shots echoed through the empty warehouse, ricocheting off the walls. Sarah ducked behind a stack of pallets, her heart pounding. In a breathless moment, Kane managed to knock one of the mercenaries off balance with a rusted metal pipe. Sarah seized the opportunity, and along with Bauer, scrambled towards the exit, dodging bullets that whizzed past their heads. They sprinted through the back streets of London, slipping into dimly lit alleyways, hearts hammering in their chests. As they reached a crowded market, they melted into the throng, the mercenaries losing their scent in the chaos. Safe for now, Sarah clutched Bauer's briefcase, containing the evidence they needed to bring Sterling Morrison to its knees. They exchanged a grim nod. Time was running out, but they had made it this far. They had to see it through. Chapter 3: The Fall of the Giants. Sarah Mitchell crouched low in the dim light of the abandoned warehouse, her heart pounding. Elena Bauer trembled beside her, clutching the briefcase that held the fate of Sterling Morrison and everyone involved. Anthony Kane placed a reassuring hand on Bauer's shoulder while scanning the rusted, decrepit building for any sign of danger. "We have to move now," Kane whispered urgently, his eyes darting between the few points of exit. "They'll regroup and be back with more men." With a nod, Sarah maneuvered her way towards the back door, every footfall muffled by caution. They slipped into the alley, the oppressive quiet of the night broken only by their hurried whispers and the distant hum of traffic. "Where do we go from here?" Bauer's voice shook with a mix of fear and determination. "The police station," Sarah replied, determination solidifying in her eyes. "We need a secured place, and this evidence has to be made official." Kane nodded and led the way through the labyrinthine alleyways. The trio's path wound through night-shrouded streets, a constant threat in every glint of headlights. Danger lurked, but they pressed on, their resolve steeled by the weight of the briefcase and the truths it contained. An hour later, they reached the police station, finding the imposing structure standing like a fortress in the cold London night. Inside, Detective Graham Foster waited, eyes betraying the fatigue but retaining sharp focus. "You're just on time," Foster said, locking the door behind them. "We've got the place locked down tight." Sarah placed the briefcase on the table, glancing at both Foster and Kane. "It's all in here. Form 23, financial records, everything that proves the conspiracy. We need full police protection until this can go public." As Foster began to sift through the documents, Bauer's hands clenched. "You can't let them get away with this," she pleaded. "I've lost too much already." Foster looked up, his face stern but sympathetic. "We'll get justice. But first, we need to verify the contents of these files, make sure our case is airtight." Hours passed, each minute stretching longer as Foster and his team cross-referenced the documents. Bauer's eyes were heavy with fatigue, but the hope she harbored kept her awake. In the early hours of the morning, the echoes of hurried footsteps shattered the brief calm. A junior officer burst into the room, breathless. "Inspector, we've got movement on the perimeter. Cars, about four of them. Men with guns." Sarah's heart rate spiked as Foster snapped into action. "Barricade the entrances. Get everyone on high alert." The young officer nodded and rushed out. Foster turned back to Sarah, Kane, and Bauer. "Stay here. We'll keep them out." But it wasn't long before the first loud crash sounded. The heavy thud of a battering ram against the doors reverberated through the building. "They're coming!" Kane shouted. He grabbed a discarded baton from a nearby desk, readying himself. Sarah took an adrenaline-fueled breath, her mind racing to find an escape if the intruders broke through. They were cornered but determined to expose the truth. No turning back now. The doors splintered, and armed men stormed through. Foster's officers met them head-on. A barrage of gunfire erupted, bodies clashing in a desperate struggle. Sarah, Bauer, and Kane took cover behind overturned desks. "Stay low!" Sarah shouted to Bauer, but they all knew that staying still wouldn't save them. In the chaos, Sarah noticed an exit route through a maintenance corridor. "Over here," she yelled, pulling Bauer and Kane along. With bullets whizzing around them and shouts echoing through the hallway, they raced against time. The corridor led to the underground parking area. Dodging bullets, they ran for an unmarked police car. Sarah jumped into the driver's seat, while Kane fired a few shots over his shoulder to buy time. They sped out of the lot, the tires screeching in protest. Glancing in the rearview mirror, Sarah saw the remaining men spilling out of the station, firing their guns in futile rage. For a moment, silence enveloped the car, tension ebbing, though their mission was far from over. "We need to reach the courthouse. Judge Whittaker, he's the only one who'll listen and act immediately," Sarah said, her voice as resolute as ever. 20 minutes later, they stood in Judge Whittaker's chambers, the urgency of their arrival etched on their faces. The judge, a dour man in his 60s, listened as Sarah laid out the case. The briefcase opened on his desk. "You've brought me quite the spectacle, Miss Mitchell," Whittaker said gravely. "If even a fraction of this is true, it could bring the entire corporation down." "It's all true," Sarah assured him. "We need your swift action to ensure justice is served." Whittaker deliberated for a moment before standing decisively. "Very well. I'll issue warrants for the arrests and immediate freezing of all related assets." Outside the chambers, the first light of dawn began to break. A new day, signaling the downfall of an empire built on lies and greed. Sarah exhaled a breath she seemed to have held for hours, turning to Kane and Bauer. "It's not over, but we've taken a giant step. We'll see this through to the end."
As we wrap up this episode, we hope you enjoyed the captivating story brought to you by the Counting Sheep app. The power to create your own narratives is now at your fingertips, and you can explore endless possibilities with Counting Sheep, available on the iPhone App Store. Whether you're a seasoned storyteller or just starting your creative journey, this app offers a unique and engaging experience. Thank you for joining us, and don't forget to check out Counting Sheep to unleash your imagination. Until next time, happy storytelling.